Told the plug I need 100 pins. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told my plug I need 100 pins. Now my shoebox got 100 G's. I told the plug I need 100 pins.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com/NewHavenIndependent or go to your Facebook page and look us up. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Joe. How's it going, Joe?
Today we have a very special guest in studio, Mr. Ashley Stallworth, visiting us all the way from the beautiful Seattle, Washington. I hope you're enjoying our lovely Connecticut weather out here.
Absolutely. I brought my winter jacket.
Well, you guys must get a lot of like rain and stuff up there anyway, right?
It's true, but you guys enjoy the... A different type of cold.
Yes.
Layers to that game. Yeah.
We learned a whole new code this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You went to Ohio. You have to tell us a little bit about that. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing out here, what you're getting into lately, and then we'll get into it.
Absolutely. So no, it's a great pleasure to be engaged in the cannabis space. You know,
always
have two companies, one that manufactures and distributes primarily CBD products. We do a lot of tea, a lot of oils, a lot of tinctures, granola, you name it, we could probably make it, you know. And then we also have the journalism arm with the Rec Book, which we use to educate, you know, share the laws, the trends, people who are making history,
right?
You guys every day who are trying to really make this union unified, right, when it comes to cannabis. So, you know, coming out here on the East Coast, hanging out with, you know, our partner, Luis over here, you know, Uncle Lou, you know, you know, we had the opportunity to really track around, you know, we helped introduce New York's first CBD experience store.
I heard about that.
Amazing setup over there. A lot of guys up in New York who are in many different councils, Nelson Guerrero,
Jake Plumer,
friends,
good friend of mine.
Yeah, who've really been able to help kind of, you know, put people on a trajectory of success.
Yeah, very. So, they do a lot with the Cannabis Cultural Association out there. Yeah.
Huge. People are very receptive. So it's just so important this time. You know, everybody be very inclusive, set up equity opportunities for people. And, you know, so we went from New York City, you know, the high life with the flashy lights.
Manhattan. Bright lights, big city. Too.
Everywhere. Had Sinatra in the background. You know, you knew things were changing, you know. You knew things were changing. And then we found our way all the way through many states like Pennsylvania, back down to Connecticut, and all the way out to Ohio.
That's a fun place.
The promised land.
Yeah. Well, if you're a hemp grower, it probably is.
Yeah, they
very
have
possibly
so much space out there. I mean,
right.
The rolling flatlands were one of the big topics of conversation that were out there. Ohio has so much flatlands and valleys that allow that water to pass through as needed. And it's such a big farming community. They have humongous farms. We're talking...
Well, it's always been known for farms.
Yeah, we're talking 1,000-acre farms. And it's awesome. It's beautiful.
It's good that they're getting into hemp. So you went there for a hemp convention?
No, we went for a hemp farmers summit.
So it
was very information driven. We were able to take back a lot of information. We got to meet some great people out there. Big shout out to Tim Johnson from Cannabis Safety out in Ohio. They were very hospitable to us. And then Julianne, she owns... Ming's fertilizer company.
Okay.
And it is a hemp specific fertilizer.
Specifically for hemp
for use in outdoors as well. So they have an indoor formula. They have their OG set, what they call is the Ohio grown.
Oh.
And a little play on words for the hemp industry.
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest thing there is growing quality hemp. If they choose for CBD because it's industrial,
there's many uses for it.
Yeah, there was a wonderful speaker that does hemp products. Ashley, he was talking about hemp for grain. So instead of hemp for CBD, hemp for grain.
Hemp flour, right, hemp flour, yeah, stuff like that. You make bread out of it.
Correct.
I saw also they want to use hemp for bird seed.
Yeah.
Hemp seeds for bird seed.
And one of the things, that it is a key ingredient in some of the bird seeds that I think a lot of people in the shelves. They don't realize.
They don't realize they're already putting it in.
Already, it's already there.
Oh,
yeah. You know, you'll
that's
have,
good for the birds.
Yeah, you'll have. You, well, there's also like hemp hearts. You can get it for your dogs.
And yes, you and know. I've used hemp hearts in my protein shakes many times.
Yep.
Yeah, so hemp has multi uses. I was actually reading another article today that hemp produced ethanol 5 times cheaper than corn produced ethanol. 5 times cheaper.
Now, one of the things, one of the conversations we were able to have out there with a local farmer that does hemp on a large scale, and Ashley was able to bring up the point that anything that you can synthetically create can be created through hemp. Any wood product or anything synthetically created can be made from hemp.
Right.
That was very specific in the wood because hemp can 100% be used as a wood. The construction companies and construction
sector made houses out of it. Yep.
Yeah, Hempcrete. They were talking about the hemp house in South Carolina.
Yep, yep. And there's Hempcrete. And Henry Ford actually made a hemp car.
That's right.
he made a car out of hemp that was stronger than any of the metal cars they were putting out. And, of course, all of a sudden it got squashed when they made hemp illegal.
Yeah, and it's beautiful that we were able to discuss these things.
Not only that, he was going to have it run on hemp fuel.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the biofuel is huge. It's still viable.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It got squashed.
And
so,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
When we're still talking about the hemp bill of 2018.
Yeah. Apparently that thing is ready for signing. I do have a little article about
that. You have a little thing you can read for us,
yes.
Jeff?
It says here, Mitch McConnell says he's guaranteeing that the 2018 Farm Bill will include his industrial hemp legalization provision after the Senate and House reach a compromise. Ideally, by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So he says, I don't want to overstate this. I don't know if it's going to be the next tobacco or not, but I do think it has a lot of potential. And as all of you already know, in terms of food and medicine, but also car parts, and I mean, it's an extraordinary plant. Now, this is Mitch McConnell saying this.
Yes, sir.
So while when industrial hemp is legalized, it will be lightly regulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. McConnell stressed, he added, that the Justice Department wouldn't be involved.
Mm-mm.
The only federal involvement would be the hemp farmers to be eligible for crop insurance.
So they are going to treat
this like a crop.
100%.
Like corn, like tobacco. Like, you know, obviously you're going to have permits and comply with EPA regulations.
Joe, they're looking for it to be treated just like corn. So
Ohio, but you still need a permit to grow anything.
Ohio's a little different.
Yeah.
So because they're one of three states. There's three states in our union that are farm states that give the right to the farmer ultimately.
Right.
They give them, you don't need a permit. You don't need, this is your farmland.
Yeah.
You do what you want. You reap what you sow. And I think that that's amazing. And that's why Ohio didn't put in a hemp program because of that.
Right, right.
They were one of the only 8 states that didn't put that hemp program.
Connecticut's also another one.
So we're in that circle.
But all right, so I understand that, but we live in Connecticut.
Yes, we
live
in Connecticut.
So we have to look at what they're going to do here.
They have a very liberal program that they're looking to put in.
They haven't done anything with it here.
Right, and that's where they're at. They're like, do we want to even put anything in play for it? Do we want to say you need a permit?
Well, I think what's going to happen is when they deal with
REC. Well, that's between the activists there.
When they deal with REC here, they'll deal with hemp at the same time. I would hope it would
all go in. Well, here in Connecticut, hopefully when that signs, it won't even be a legalization issue because industrial hemp has nothing to do with cannabis.
Right, right. The issue here is the CBD. They worry about that.
That's what the farm bill, matter of fact,
Connecticut hemp is legal except for CBD.
Right, and that's what the farm bill is going to
legalize
at
all.
Right.
CBD. Take the Fed.
So the grain and the fiber is going to be so prevalent, especially with Connecticut having fields that were once already tilled for tobacco. Right?
Yeah.
So those lands have already been created. And like Luis was saying, when they brought it up a lot, you know, when we were out there, how they were one of three states. And if you look at those three states, the way they're geo-positioned, the way their constituents are, and the long history of commerce, right? You know, floating back to money that floats currently
right.
on our stock market. I mean, they're making a way for bigger business. In this
absolutely. Sense. Absolutely. No,
that's why those laws are there. So Scott's and Montesino.
Monsanto.
Monsanto.
Yeah, please don't mention those names.
That's their home state. So they made it so that there's no regulations on anything they want to do. They're killing the small farmers.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
The big topic was
See, this is what we have to worry about as activists and people who are going to get involved in the hemp industry. The products that I'm sure you want to put out and that I want to put, I don't want them coming from Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Unless it's clothing, I don't care what I'm wearing if it comes, but I'm not going to put in my body anything that comes from Monsanto.
We're on the same page with that.
Keebra, they will not be the Nike.
No.
Keebra's on the phone right
love
now.
Love it.
Keebra, are you here?
I'm here.
Hey. Hi, Keebra. So just Keebra is up in Hartford taking care of the patients up there. We miss her, but we're very happy to have her on the phone. How are you?
If you need a medical marijuana certification, please go see Keebra now.
But still listen to us.
Yeah, we'll be there today from
Put the show on in the office, Keebra, so they can all hear you.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right.
I haven't gotten to the office yet, though. I'm still in
travel. Oh, that's right. You started, too. You're still in transit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. We've been talking about hemp.
We're open in Hartford today from 2 to 6.
Right.
Love to see you guys.
Come on up if you need your rec. So, we were just talking about hemp. And industrial hemp, but since I got you on the phone, I want to switch gears a little bit. A couple of things going on locally that we should talk about. Right. One is, first of all, George Zito and Rubber Match is closing up at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And we had him on our show about a month ago. He's been in business since 1973, so let's give him a big thanks. For what he's done for the cannabis
local
community.
Local advocate, 100%.
George has me on cannabis here and now.
Yeah.
He sends patients. He educates potential medical marijuana patients about the program and makes referrals to us. And we really, really appreciate his support. He listens to the show. He, you know, always gives us shouts out. So we really appreciate you, George.
It's going to be a big loss. I hope before he retires and moves to Florida, maybe he'll get involved and, you know, come to our parties and hang out with us a little bit.
You know, I think it'd be awesome if we do a little, you know,
maybe at the normal party, we'll do a tribute to George Zito.
We'll
think
sure
we're going to bring that up at the normal meeting.
Yeah, we'll make sure we say a big thank you.
Yeah, I think we should do a little something.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I know nobody will have any objection to that. So let's plan that for the normal party. Let's do a something for George.
George is a good guy. He really put his heart and soul into cannabis here in Connecticut.
Yeah. Remember the stories he was telling us about?
I love that
Paraquat
guy.
And all that. It's great. Great guest. He's a great guest.
He's educated through the history of cannabis. He's seen it firsthand. And like he said, he started in 1973.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I used to go there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Paving the way.
Paving the way. Joined Normal in 79.
Yeah.
So right as the inception of Normal was really going on when so this is California was going legal basically in the late 90s. But that fight was there.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just spreading the word of this new organization called Normal.
Yeah.
And how were they getting this information out? But literally by leaflets sent through the mail.
Little leaflets they used to pass out.
You know.
They just moved on from Pony Express.
Yeah.
They've come a long way.
They just moved on.
So, yeah, we want to give a shout out to George.
Ashley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you forgot
What's
Ashley.
What's up, Keebra?
All right.
Your seat is very comfortable, let me tell you. Very comfortable.
I'm sure you look good today. I got to look at the camera and see you.
We're here.
We stopped by the New Haven office and took a picture in front of the sign.
There we go.
I saw that. Thank you.
We loved it.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that's going on that happened in Connecticut on Saturday, and this has never happened before, is one of our dispensaries got robbed.
Crazy.
Did you hear about this, Keebra?
I did. I thought it was quite interesting, the scenario that... So what... Did you get any...
I don't have a ton of info. Channel 8 didn't have a lot. We do know that it was, you know, I don't like... They didn't mention it on the air, but it was Southern Connecticut Wellness. All they said was that the entire safe was stolen.
Jeez.
So, now... Wow.
The entire safe was stolen. That's all they said.
Well,
it said no arrests have been made, there's no suspects, and the incident remains under investigation. They said the only thing taken was a safe containing a substantial amount of cash. So the whole day's take was probably in that safe.
Right. And what I'm thinking is just because as a patient seeing things that are going on, and, you know, we're allowed to make speculation.
Mm-hmm.
So we go into the dispensary, we see kind of where things are going. That back door where they deliver the packages is literally right into that back room. Like, when, as a patient, you go
I don't
in
know that one. Oh, I haven't been to that dispensary.
I'm a patient
yet.
At that dispensary.
Oh, you are?
I am a patient at that dispensary. So I do know, as you walk in that first door, tight security. Before you walk into that second door, tight security. You walk into that third door to see your pharmacy tech, still tight security. There's even a door between the pharmacy tech and the safe area where they take their deliveries, where it's one door. Mm-hmm. In through mm-hmm. the back.
Right.
You know?
There's
so,
nothing in the back.
And there's
nobody in the back.
Right. Tons of cameras out front. You know?
And I know that location. It's right on New Haven Avenue, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So somebody must have known there something.
The routine.
Yeah. They're saying it's nobody,
yeah,
but
because
I. There's camera.
The safe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole safe?
I guarantee they couldn't get the medicine.
Who would even know it was a safe you could take?
Right.
Do you think it might have been an inside job? There's been speculation of that.
Sounds like it.
That's what I've been hearing. Inside job. So that's a shame.
And that's unfortunate because I just met the owner, Raj.
Raj is
really
friend.
A nice guy. Very knowledgeable about cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to really care about the patients there. You know, and stuff like this just puts a negative spin on, you know, a program that we're trying to, you know, encourage patients to be involved in. And encourage the society at large to think of us, you know, not as the years of stereotypes and propaganda have
right.
been, like we're just a bunch of criminal losers and so on and so forth. So, you know, hopefully this doesn't stain anything that we have going on.
It's really unfortunate. It really is. It does put a bad look on the medical marijuana program. Well, not on the medical, just on dispensaries.
No, that was just
on security at dispensaries in general.
That was just a security thing.
So they'll bring it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
But you know how they do.
You know how they do.
Especially with press. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad apple.
Let's be realistic. There had to be a camera facing that safe.
Well, it's under investigation. Let's see what they come up with.
If you are operating a facility with that much cash as any owner.
You better. I mean, it's everybody. I know everybody. Even the pizza joint has a camera facing right on the register in the safe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. So whoever did this, they're going to know who did it.
Yeah. They may already. You know, they may just not be.
Yeah,
they can't discuss the act. Yeah. You know, it's an active investigation. They can't discuss it. You know, so we respect all that, but that also allows us to speculate as much as we want.
Yeah. And it was, I guess, Saturday night after closing. So, I mean, I'm sure there was probably a lot of money in there. And they knew
that.
Yeah, Saturdays are a busy day over there. So it's a shame.
We could probably buy a lobbyist with that money.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I know I spent money there that day.
We wish them well, though.
They got my dollar bills.
We wish them well, though.
Absolutely.
I picked up the blue. I picked up the blue.
Hopefully they can recover
their
losses.
Yeah.
Yeah, bless them.
Well, with Thanksgiving coming up, hopefully.
They definitely will recoup their loose losses, but, you know, it's a pharmacy.
It's terrible, like if any business gets robbed.
They have insurance.
Well, I wonder.
No, I wonder if they do because of the cannabis industry.
With cannabis?
You know, this is part of the deal why we need banking. In cannabis.
Right.
I mean, the fact that if we were able to have banking, they wouldn't need all this cash around.
So they're able to use some type of banking, credit union.
They're charging a fee now, though.
But this is what I'm saying, Joe. For them to operate as a business because they're Schedule 2, it opens the program up to the banks, but it doesn't mean the bank has to. So if we have 500 banks and only two banks say they're going to operate in this environment, They're able to then charge them astronomical rates.
And they did.
Which is fine because they got the banking. But on top of that, that insurance comes with it. So they're insured. That cash is insured because they have the receipts for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just how it works through. They're going to get charged an arm and a leg for it.
Because that type of insurance, isn't that federal?
Yeah.
That would be, that's up to the bank.
The plan.
I would, I would think it would have to do with more of the insurance they actually have on the business.
Yeah,
right,
because
it's not, connected to the cannabis.
Yeah.
They're bonded more than any.
Why would the bank have anything to do with it? Because you're not putting it in the bank.
They're more than like
but
credit
insurance
unions
are is usually federal.
Yeah.
You can do local insurances as well, you know. So the usuals don't, you know.
But see, what I'm
apply.
Saying is they charged me last time I went to the dispensary.
Yep.
Between their fee and the fee my bank charged me.
$5?
It was $5 extra on my thing. Now, some people can't afford that $5. and they're going to be paying cash.
Right.
And so, this is going to, you know, it's going to continue this way because people don't want to use the banking because they're going to get charged an extra $5.
So I'm going to give you the devil's advocate because I'm from New York. And when I went to the ATM,
okay,
I got charged $3 from the ATM fee.
Right.
And $3 from my bank.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Did you like it?
Of course not.
Okay.
I didn't even look at that.
But now, that's why ATMs, you'll get that, oh, free ATM charge. But depending on your bank, that's what they use for their advertisements.
Okay, fine.
You know?
But that means I have to make my banking fit with, just so I don't get a charge from my dispensary?
Yes, that's what private industry
that's
is.
Your medicine.
That's BS. Yes. I want to be able to bank wherever I want.
Well, that's why private industry.
A lot of money off of it.
That's why banking is private.
So anyway, we got kind of on a tangent there. I don't think this was about banking. It's more about getting robbed.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying, you know, everybody,
they're robbing
the whole community,
everybody.
You know?
It's more about getting robbed.
So now the whole community knows, but it's related to things like banking.
It is one of the issues, the reason it happened. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
And also, though, the need to break up this industry a little bit. You know, what if we had a separate security? You know, people were able to start security business.
Like Brinks, like having an armored car come pick it up or something. Yeah, yeah.
What if at the end of the day, every day, the cash, even if it was the bank.
Delivery.
Yeah.
That should be a separate entity within this industry.
Why can't you? Exactly.
Security companies,
yeah. We've had that practice on the West.
Yeah, I imagine by now they've got it there.
Yeah,
and even Brinks would pick up the money. It's just picking up money and providing security.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, just agreed. But
they should be able to, but they don't.
We're still here in the infancy, basically, in Connecticut. So anyway, but not in Massachusetts.
That is something that we should be working towards building, breaking up that one person does everything. Down on grow facilities do everything. Grow it, package it, extract it, deliver it.
Yep. No, well, we got a chance here if we're going to get recreational marijuana here in Connecticut. Like they do in Massachusetts.
Did we talk about that
already? We're talking about Massachusetts right now.
Hey.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Ushering it in.
And then we're going to talk about Connecticut. Tomorrow, Massachusetts, legal stales start. Did you know that, Kibra?
Who's riding up to the border with me?
So, I will be heading up to Massachusetts tomorrow. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead. You guys go.
Ashley and I are heading up for the rec book because it's the first day of recreational sales. So because the rec book covers
recreational cap,
I don't know yet. I might be going to NIDA just because of the...
There's two of them.
So Veterans Alternative Healing is a veterans program very similar to
NEVA.
Mm-hmm. So both NEVA and... The Veterans Alternative Healing.
I did see an article about that they're going to be first in line. I saw that. Very cool.
So those guys are all friends, and I shot a text up after I saw it, and they were like, yeah, come on up.
Cool. So, cool. So you don't know whether you're going to go.
Probably NEDA is because it's closer down this way. But.
I'm going to vote for both.
Yeah.
So that's probably. Well, let's see here. Here's what it says. There's two places. One is going to be NEDA, N-E-T-A, NEDA. Mm-hmm. And they're in Northampton.
Yep.
So we know where that is. That's kind of by Greenfield up there, Springfield way, right?
Correct.
And then the other one is called Cultivate. And it doesn't say where that one is. But I understand it's close to the Connecticut border.
Correct.
Kieber, do you know where the second dispensary in Mass is going to be?
No, I don't.
It's called Cultivate. It didn't say where it's going to be, but I do know it is close to Enfield.
Yeah.
Near the border. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that the Connecticut police and everybody are worried about, that the Connecticut residents are going to jump the border and go buy recreation weed.
It was all over the news.
Officially.
The police are going to be right there on the line.
You betcha.
Yep. We don't recommend people bring it back from Massachusetts.
I'm smoking it all there.
If you buy it up there, smoke it up there. We are not recommending you bring it over the border.
No.
There may be a loophole if you're a medical patient.
No
loophole. But I want you to look into that yourself.
We do not recommend you do this.
We don't recommend that you
bring
it over. You're
not telling him, Uncle Lou.
Be safe.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Uncle Lou did not tell you to bring back weed.
Just smoke it over there. Enjoy it. Have a good time while you're up there. But come back empty-handed if you can.
That's right. I am going to go up there tomorrow. We're going to report.
Please. drive responsibly.
Because I could just see the reports, you know, on the news. Oh, police bus 15 or 20 Connecticut residents coming back from Mass with weed. That's all we need when we're trying to get recreational marijuana here in Connecticut. Speaking of that, did you see the nice article they wrote about us in the Connecticut Post this weekend?
Hey.
No.
Yeah, it was about grow rights in Connecticut. And, you know, it was talking about how, you know, even though we have a marijuana-friendly governor now, there is still opposition to it within the legislature. They quoted Representative John Steinberg, and he is a Democrat out of Westport. And he is still very much in doubt whether it is a good thing for the state, even though it's estimated that $180 million in new taxes could be raised every year. But see, when then they see these toll numbers coming up in the billions. And then, you know what I mean? They're going to... But anyway, this representative says he's not sure if it's time. He said the lure of the revenue is irresistible. But he said,
That's amazing.
He said there's Westport. Also conflicting
Westport.
Yeah, information about the addictiveness of the drug. So he's worried about kids. The same thing they're always, you know, worried about.
Oh, he's worried about all the people that die from cannabis.
Yeah, and the kids, right?
The children.
He's worried about the...
Westport sold out to... They were they did not want to have any medical marijuana dispensaries in Westport. They voted it down until somebody came up with the right number. And then as soon as somebody came in with the right number, they changed their tune.
Yes, sir.
So Westport sold out totally to medical marijuana.
Completely.
They voted it out, and then somebody approached them with the right number, and then they changed their mind. So Westport, you know, we can't go by that.
It's Westport. They about their business.
But this was particularly about the right for patients to grow.
Yes.
And about how that, you know, the advocates here in Connecticut, they actually interviewed Paul.
Yes.
From Connecticut Normal, and it was, you know, basically hit. Yeah, shout out to Paul. And he had a great line in there. He said, you know, a lot of the cultivators and everything are worried about losing business because, you know, people would be growing their own stuff. And he said, you know, I can grow my own tomatoes at home, too. That doesn't mean I'm not going to buy them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And all these states that have, and Ashley, you could tell us right here in Seattle. Okay, Seattle has grow rights, right?
No.
No.
No, that was one of the big moves that caused the decision. It was a 52-52.
Really?
47, yeah.
So you guys cannot grow personal cannabis?
No, so we're currently, we submitted a document. It's called CS-101 that basically is Articles of Confederation saying, hey, we want to reintegrate this into the bill, and now we have to get the people's approval again. So
now, did you have it when it was only medical?
We did.
So when they went rec, they took it away?
They did. So it really, it flatlined. That entire industry, only three groups who had permits were able to convert, right? So really decimated, created a black market. You still had a lot of
growth.
I hear
there's tons of it out there now.
Tons of it. I mean, almost more than enough.
Too much weed in Seattle now.
It doesn't make sense. So the seed-to-sale system shows that they've produced way more than they've actually accounted for, right? So the ledgers aren't adding up.
Oh, so where's it going?
Exactly. So they have an audit team going on right now, a bunch of third parties. You know, we got a chance to go up to the Liquor Cannabis Board the other week.
Wow.
And they really didn't have any definite answers, you know, so it's one of those things.
You think they'll do like California and make everybody get rid of everything and start over?
You know, they'll try. They tried to recall on the edibles.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. They had to switch everything up.
And that's been a big thing. So, you know, there is a chance that they'll do it, but I think they've garnered so much pace or such a fast rate of speed that I don't think they're going to turn back. Right, they'll try to integrate different pieces into the legislation, you know, usually try to lobby, you know, with the people to really get them to sign on for it. But I think they're too far ahead. They have, Washington, in my opinion, out of all the states that have gone recreational, have set the platform for commercialism.
Right.
Right.
Whether it's the I understand. You can even have billboards in Washington. I mean, they allow tons of advertising. There's no restrictions.
Yeah, but it hurts the community, though. You know, when you go to events and, you know, we started in medical. You know, providing clones to markets, you know, so people can be empowered to do that. And and being seeing that they could just snap like that and take it away from the community really is what forced us to really look at the CBD in other ways that we could spread it across the map, because we're not alone, right? Like we get back to, right? We're a community,
right?
A united community, especially in this nation. So, you know, it's on us to really keep each other ahead of the grain, know what can come, especially when it comes to the constituents in the House, especially in your guys' situation out here. I mean, your elected officials don't necessarily have to choose what you voted them in for.
Right.
You know,
and so they don't.
Yeah, and you really have to stay on them. So Washington learned that kind of the hard way, even though we have a lot of liberty with the referendums and initiatives. So, you know, it can sneak up on you, even though when you feel like you're getting this great big pie in the sky, we're going to be able to buy recreational, show my ID. There's people out there who are paying $20 an eighth
right,
on their fixed income, SSI,
right,
that, who now aren't able to afford it.
To afford it, right.
You know, so, you know, there's pros and cons, but, you know, I think it's so imperative that we always look out for the medical community.
He said $20
That was a big point.
Right.
As a matter of fact, that was a big point in the article that they wrote. They said that one of the big concerns is that they're going to try and flip the medical right into recreational. And that was one of Paul's points, that it is very important that we maintain the integrity of the medical marijuana program while still, you know, pursuing recreational here in Connecticut. Because it's very important.
Because really allowing it to be
what happened in Washington.
And accessible and affordable.
Right.
That's really what we should be now focusing on. Okay, you all made your money. This was the only outlet that you had to, you know, get into this industry. But now that when adult use gets enacted, now let them off these patients. Make it so that they can actually afford their medicine, actually treat their illnesses. Like, the way it's set up right now, you'll go broke.
Yeah, you'll go broke, and you don't always get the medicine you need.
Oh, let's not even talk about that.
Right. So if we could at least get grow rights for patients,
it's really critical. You know, there's no, you know, as we all know, there's no formal insurance plans. None of the groups are accepting or even starting to onboard. So, you know, for Present Naturals, that was one of the things that we made a huge effort for, was to create an assistance program that eventually we can create a bridge over to those programs.
Right.
You know, it's really just getting the wheels started. Right. So that was one of the takes that we took out from the medical community being lost. You know, these individuals, they really literally have fixed incomes and they have real needs. So we can prioritize that always.
Right. Right.
I know lobbying can go a long way. And like we said, we all want to be able to have the freedom access. Right. But we have to be very well aware of what the risks are.
Now, actually, let me ask you a question now. Do you think in Washington there's any way to get a medical program back, or is there a way to, like, have services for people? In other words, since there's no formal medical program, are there still services out there to help people medically? Like, are there doctors you can consult with? Are there firms, you know, to learn how to dose, to do the kind of thing? Is there maybe somebody who could sit in a recreational dispensary, a doctor, and take appointments? I mean, at least to be able to incorporate that in a little bit, because to lose that whole thing is just, it seems like a huge shame. Because besides just the medicine, there's the educational part. There's the help that people like Kieber give you at Can Health, and dosing and things like that. And you lose all that when you cut out the medical program. Are they doing anything like that out there?
You know,
or maybe there's an idea for it. I don't know.
Now, lots of ideas in this time, you know, lots of opportunities. You know, one of the things, you know, it knocked the air out of the sails for the medical community. So a lot of those individuals who had a lot of that knowledge, had a lot of that education, that were doing those types of programs, they end up leaving. Right. They felt like they were disrespected. They moved to Oregon. They moved to Colorado. They're moving over here to the East Coast. They're being recruited. You know, so in a way, no, we don't have that representation. There have been, you know, consultancy groups that have grown. Right. The ancillary services for this industry is becoming really robust because people have questions. Like I said, the education,
right,
they need somebody to be like, hey, point me in the right direction.
Right.
But for that community, you know, there was definitely a 1 to 2 year period where it was just kind of ghostly, kind of ghost town. You know, there was people kind of fighting in between on the producer processor. People who had converted to recreational, people who wanted to, like, hold down by principle that they weren't going to. This is what they had been doing for years. Same thing in California, right? You know, you have a lot of families who are getting pushed, you know, especially with the forest fires, and but also kind to snap to now they have 2 tax codes they go to.
Right.
So they're like, before this was easy. Now I'm paying 31% to 33%.
Right.
Right. Everyone has to have insurance.
Oh, crazy, right? Taxes out there.
So people, you know, on a business acumen, they're trying to catch up. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why the consultants, even for businesses and then also for medical administration, is huge. And I mean, your guys' reach, even here in Connecticut, really can extend the rest of the map, because people still need people to talk to. So if you get people who leave, you know, just because of the business conditions doesn't mean that the people that they were serving get to leave. You know,
right.
They're just right there.
Where do the patients go?
Yeah.
You know, here they are. You had a bunch of, I know you had a huge medical program out there, and all of a sudden, boom, now they're all wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
So where's their help? Where's the doctors that are helping them? Where, you know, it's terrible. It's, see, these are the things we got to look at in Connecticut. We have to make sure that what happened in Washington doesn't happen here. What happened in California doesn't happen here, you know, because their form of legalization is terrible. It's nothing but over-regulation. I wouldn't even call it legalization. I mean, their public consumption laws are just, like, outrageous. You know, you can get arrested if you have it even in your car. You have to keep it in your trunk in special containers. And then, of course, what they did to the cultivators out there, you know, making everybody become indoor now. I mean, mm-hmm. it totally shook up an industry that was, like you said, pretty simple.
Yeah, really simple. Real we're not simple. Recreating the wheel here.
Right. Right. So that's why I think, and that was part of the point of the article is, and Kibra, I think you'll agree, the work doesn't finish when you get legalization mm-hmm. in. You yeah. have to make sure that the legalization that they put into this state is right. Because in California, from what I understand, the activists weren't really even up there fighting, you know, for the proper type of legalization. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know that, at least here in Connecticut, we would have let that go through. It's horrible. It's just a horrible form of legalization. So the work really starts, and I use Massachusetts as an example. They really, if they went in there and really formed the structure that they wanted, and it was because there were activists on the Cannabis Control Commission and advocates for cannabis, and you need that. You can't have politicians
like
determining
any industry, really. I mean, you should have professionals, people who have experience, right, who can empathize, but also have a business sense.
Right.
If you have people who are just focused on money, you're going to be missing a lot of areas. I mean, look at almost every state that has even rolled out cannabis, right?
It's
supposed to be medical, right? But only certain groups even have parking for handicap. Or even usher those people to the front of the line. You know, so we've got a long way to go, right? When we really look how we kind of format it in general. But it is so critical, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Just to really be dialed
in. It is critical. And I know we'll all be up there this legislative session pushing for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Kibra, what would you like to see in the legalization bill in Connecticut? Did we lose her? We lost
Kibra.
Call back, Kibra. Oh, wait, Harry's leaving. He's going to the bathroom. She can't call back.
So we can let's continue. She'll call back in. She probably has to park and get ready. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's right.
She opens up in 20 minutes.
Woo. Oh yeah.
Is this week number two over there?
This is week number two up
in Hartford.
Nice.
She has a real nice office up there.
Yep.
You know, I really like it. Maybe on your way to Mass tomorrow, you stop by and see it. But
tomorrow's New Haven, Tuesday.
Oh, tomorrow's New Haven, that's right. But it's very nice. It's really cool that Kibra's expanding and gotten it up to the Hartford area, because they could use another medical office up there, especially now in Connecticut. We're hoping to get another at least 3, 4, 5, up to 9 dispensaries, 10 more opened up next year. But I guess a lot of that's going to depend on what we do with rec. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. The legislative session starts January.
We shall see. Because, you know, as we discussed this, there's also those places that went recreational, and the cost of cannabis is ridiculously low.
Well, Washington is one. Right. The price dropped, like, drastically, right?
So, you know, you're like, we're talking about compassion,
and that's including
them taxing.
But
it's also like $50 ounces. You know what I mean? The medical program disappeared, but that's the medical growth program. The doctor's offices are still there. You know what I mean? And the services, like what Ashley and even Kibra on that coast can do. It's just a consult, you know, and tying in. But the weed's so cheap. Having a medical program, and this is just the entrepreneur in me, but having the medical program costs more. You know what I mean? It just costs more to have, and it sucks. How do you integrate it? And I think that's where you guys are now trying to figure out, how do you integrate the business portion of it, because everybody flipped to rec. Now it's up to the business ethos of that company. You know what I mean? Okay, we'll
that's
honor
kind
the,
of what I was saying, in other words, right? Are they doing something on the more ground level?
Well, definitely, you know, a grassroots. Like, there's a group called Freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah, they're up in near Everett, Washington, right? And they literally, they partition their bedroom, right? And one side is for people who had passed medical, right? And one side is for the recreational, right? And they kind of don't, they kind of make it obvious, right? The last few, like two or three questions before, and they definitely have a discount rate for the other room.
Right? See, so that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, so it can, but it was really on that board specifically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen a lot of people who've been selling their licenses, and this is really all the states. I mean, even down in Oregon, which, right, you can get a gram of some fire for like $2 to $3.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
in Oregon too.
Yeah, I mean, ounces.
Yeah, I've heard Washington and Oregon is really has an overload of product.
Overload, right? But you still have people who are like, you know, who don't know where it's accessible, where they can get the deals,
right?
You know, because the advertising is really challenging,
right?
It's not like you can, you know, do a billboard in certain states. Washington. Yes, right? But it has to be very specific.
But not Oregon.
Yeah, and Vegas is coming up. You know, but Vegas's prices are crazy. It's like $23 a gram.
I claim understand that.
Oh, they're still up high? They're still up high?
I claim Vegas as a territory.
Well, Vegas
now
has a weird system where the cannabis is distributed by the liquor industry.
Yes.
And they eliminated the way they got it in so quickly was they just flipped medical. All the medical dispensaries just became wrecked.
Yep.
Like overnight. So there's
literally
another case
overnight at midnight.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a case of them just taking the medical program and eliminating it completely. Whereas I believe
you save on taxes if you're a medical patient out there.
Yes. Okay.
So that's
so they
that's
give them
their,
a break.
They give you the 23%.
I still believe people need medical services.
Yes.
And that's more what it's about. I think it's great that
they'll
have. Do you
think the government should regulate that? Or is it up to the individual businesses?
It's individual businesses. Please keep the government out as much as possible because they'll overregulate.
Right, because that's kind of where the way I was interpreting they got rid of the medical program. Well, yeah, now it's up to the community to push that they still need this portion.
Medical.
But I'm okay with less regulation. You know, who wants more government and things?
Yeah, not I. Kind of the dichotomy of the industry, you know.
Yeah.
People trying to figure out where do we go. You know, even when you get yourself up at a political level where you can make a decision, right? You're trying to weigh out the cost value. There's all these different indexes and formulas that you're trying to make sure that this actually makes sense. And now even stuff like you guys were talking about earlier in Connecticut with somebody, you know, being robbed, right? Like the insurance. How do we assess risk mitigation? So there's a lot of different factors, but that should not supersede that there is a medical community. And then there are recreational users who just want to use it. So, I mean, somehow they've got to figure out how to be able to steer those lanes, right?
I think ideally, as we get down the road, there's going to be two separate industries.
Mm-hmm.
A medical industry, which really focuses on using cannabis as medicine. In other words, coming up with treatment programs specifically using cannabis for cancer, using cannabis for other ailments, and literally coming up with an entire regimen. You know, it needs to be more medical. In other words, there should be doctors running it, should be more studies, there should be clinics for opioid addiction, whereas instead of coming in to get your methadone dose, you're getting your cannabis dose, and you're talking to a counselor about how you're doing with your addiction. In other words, I think the medical has to become really more medical, where we're really using cannabis as a medicine. And I'm not saying big pharma, I'm saying still have the recreational sales, but have programs where people can come, get the guidance for their specific ailments using the recreational products, or maybe even come up with different standards, like rec products have this much THC, but medical can be made stronger and different. You sell certain products medically and different ones rec. And that would be a way to go, yes.
All right. So I'm going to, I guess...
Here we go, the devil again. Go ahead.
Devil's advocate.
Well.
Devil's advocate. When you call it medicine.
I said no big pharma.
But when you call it medicine, it doesn't matter where you are in the country. The way the laws are going to look at it is it's medicine. It's controlled by our doctors. It's controlled by. Let's jump out there. It's just wording. And and this was a topic that I heard this weekend, and this is where this comes from.
From the doctor.
Yeah, from the doctor. He goes, we call it medicine. The moment we call it medicine, the FDA needs to get involved. The moment we call it medicine. But if it's a supplement.
So how are they getting away with it now?
But if it's a supplement, the FDA doesn't care.
Well, that's where they have it now. CBD.
But what about THC?
Well, that's, see, this is where we get dicey. Yeah,
so this is where I wasn't discussing on what we should do. This was a question to you. Because we just, the whole topic of our last couple sentences were, this is a medicine, let's treat cancer. That's where, let's just, any skeptic that says THC weed cures cancer. Okay, we know that the studies are out there that it's happening. Now we have to convince this person that's going to act like they have blinders on and aren't going to take any information. Their first question, because we get this question all the time. Mm-hmm. What's the doctor say?
Yeah.
What's the doctor say?
Right.
Well, this is what the doctors
say different
this is
things.
Exactly. Okay, so what's the highest, what is the people who tell me about Advil say? Because that's what they're going to ask.
Right.
You know, that comes right along with witch hazel. Witch hazel, we don't claim that it's a medicine, but you can treat it just like aspirin. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can buy up as much of it as you want. It's not regulated because it's a supplement. It's an herb.
Right.
And that's kind of where...
But they'll never, ever let THC products be sold in Walmart or Walgreens like supplements are or in a health food store.
Interesting. I think they will.
I don't because it's mind-altering. You don't see booze or anything
yes,
sold...
You do.
I mean, I hear it's nice. I mean, I definitely think
CBD
that,
you can get away with it because
alcohol
it's non-psychoactive.
At Walmart.
But isn't it usually behind a glass counter, right?
Yeah. So it depends what state. Connecticut doesn't allow it. New York allows it upstate.
I mean, I'm talking about literal medicines. I'm not talking about
and this is where I'm playing supplements. This is where I'm playing your devil's advocate because literal medicines will never come as flour.
That's
never.
Okay.
So that's where all of this.
That's for another.
Well, we saw that no
flour is
ruling,
for
right?
The recreational stores.
The moment you call it medicine, the FDA gets it. Like, you can't go get poppy leaves.
Right. You can't. Right. I understand that. And
you know what I mean? So.
You can't grow your own tobacco.
It's a challenge. I mean, look at Oklahoma, right? When they literally tried to roll out their program, right? They tried to exclude flour.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to exclude
a lot
things.
Of states already have. Yeah. Florida excluded flour. New York has no flour.
But it seems like they're trying to create that wedge, like we're saying right,
right.
here, right? So it's either we're going to have like, hey, you're going to accept or not. Like Oklahoma, right? You have to have a pharmacist on.
Right.
So basically. Well,
Connecticut too.
CVS, right? Just crush
CVS.
It, right?
No Connecticut too.
CVS is running your ships, right? Yeah, but it's like, you know, when... it's almost necessarily for them to have that. Well, one, to be up for tax incentive, right? So they'll know where to kind of put it in which pot. But then also, you know, for the commercial side, because now we have to look at the hemp bill, like that might be signed this week, right? Where does CBD land and all that, right?
Right?
So we're almost creating a three-prong situation,
well,
right?
You guys were in Ohio. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You do know that CBD is only allowed to be sold in medical marijuana dispensaries now in Ohio.
No, it's
whether
not.
It's, they pass, I don't know if they've implemented it yet. But they are not discerning between hemp CBD and cannabis CBD in Ohio.
That is a case that's on the books
right.
with no decision yet.
Okay, so they just put the bill in, but it hasn't passed.
Correct. So that's the same as saying cannabis is legal, but they didn't sign the bill. So there are very viable shops there. We were introduced to these great companies that are thriving CBD shops because thriving. Because they chose to understand with their lawyers, because the lawyer that came up and spoke at the summit was the lawyer handling this case.
Right.
My client is being charged with every single CBD product on their shelf. We are fighting that was unconstitutional. And at the same right,
somebody got busted out there.
Yes.
Oh.
So with the same right of exactly what you said, they're not differentiating CBD from hemp.
Or cannabis.
Now, what happens when the farm bill passes?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different story.
No, it doesn't change that because the lawyer's argument is you've already defined CBD from hemp and cannabis as the same thing. Now, since it's legal from hemp, You've already put your foot in your mouth.
Boom. I mean, if we can accept that on the fundamentals, I mean, that literally legitimizes the claim that cannabis is legal.
The truth of the matter is there is no difference.
So, between these are all stories.
For sure not.
CBD from hemp and CBD from cannabis are the same.
Because hemp and cannabis are the same.
It's different extraction processes. No.
It's just how you're going to use it, because hemp is cannabis sativa. It's literally
because it was bred to not have THC. So you don't have to pull the THC out of it. That's what I'm saying. It's one less step.
Yeah. Okay.
Man, there's a great opportunity. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, the way that it's being spun around the U.S., right, creates these scenarios where it's a challenge for everybody to be on the same page. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's why it's so critical for these types of conversations, right, as we embed them in other states that are still to come, so that they know, right? The lawyer, if they win that case, they literally have proven the point.
Precedent.
It's a play on words, right? Which when you're a lawyer, right, at any capacity, you know that.
All right.
That's what it is.
I just got the 2-minute warning from Harry, so I want to give you this, and I want to go over the events. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com, New Haven Independent, or go to your Facebook page and look us up. So, got some events coming up this week.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. On December the 5th, we have, November 28th, we have the normal meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about our big fundraiser going on over at Terminal 110 December the 20th. So come on down. We're also going to be talking about our game plan for the legislative session opening up in January. So that's the 28th at Rough Draft in Hamden. On December the 8th, we have a cooking class, infused holiday cooking with Uncle Lou up at the Canna Health Studios.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Present Naturals provided some CBD flowers that are high. So they're industrial hemp flowers that were bred specifically for high CBD, CBG,
perfect,
and other strains like that. So, you know, that's that cultivars. We also have the Parents for Pot Toy Drive and donations. You can drop off things at the both Canna Health offices at Kibra, and that will go up to...
And we're doing that at Normal, too.
Yep.
At the fundraiser.
Very nice. Very cool. The ones, they'll go to a great cause. It's an amazing cause.
We also have the... December the 5th, we have the medical marijuana discussion group at the Bohemian High. That's the first Wednesday of every month.
I love them.
Yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, we spend a good time down there.
You went down there.
So yeah, cool. Rich is a great guy. He's going to Present Naturals did a little thing this weekend, and we made some great friends, and we're very excited that we're on the East Coast.
Right. So we got that going on, and then we got, of course, on the 20th, the big normal fundraiser.
Correct.
At Terminal 110, we're going to do cannabis karaoke. We're going to have some stand-up comedians there. We'll be announcing more of the entertainment. And we're looking for sponsors and people to buy booths, vendor tables, and things like that. So December the 20th.
And then there's just one last thing. We've talked about the hemp so much. We also have March 9th.
We're getting kicked off.
Yeah, March 9th, there will be a large agricultural farm hemp expo, and you can go to farminghempexpo.com.
All right. We'll see you all next week. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Enjoy your turkey and enjoy your desserts afterwards.
Stay happy, healthy, and high.
Happy Turkey Day, everyone. Turkey bag. Chasing gold, y'all. Tell us down, we won't go far. Blue sherbet stuffed the whole jar. 100 peas on the Bay Bridge, stuck in traffic. If I ever run into Riri, let's make magic. Die doing something you love, it ain't tragic. Heard what I said, it ain't tragic. From the home of lay down, smoking ratchets. Never win when you spell it backwards. I got green in the bay, my whole team.